Welcome to Lacrosse and Sport, the podcast for the fastest game on 2 feet and America's fastest growing sport. Here are your hosts, Roger Welton and Steve Jordan.
Hello, Lax lovers, and welcome back to another edition of Lacrosse and Sport, coming to you with my brother from another mother, my Lax buddy, Steve Jordan. Welcome, Steve, from California. How are things out west, buddy?
Beautiful as always, my man. 80 degrees today, sunny, and feeling great. Energy here is awesome. It's springtime, even though it's beautiful and sunny all year long. We do have a season here, and it is lacrosse season. I just went to go see my alma mater, University of Maryland, play North Carolina here. They do a West Coast Invitational every year, and Maryland always seems to be there. It's down in Orange County. Went with Gary Greenbaum, who we had on the show about a year ago.
The legend,
Hall of Famer from Pace University. Great guy. He picked me up, and we drove down there and had a great time. I connected with Scott Hockstead, who played at Maryland, three-time All-American there, and got to see him and a couple other people I've met through the years. And it's just, man, being in the Lax community and just seeing it here on the West Coast in that capacity is awesome. So I'm feeling the spring fever, bud.
Awesome, man.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Actually, we just finished up our FTLL season. That's a Florida Travel Lacrosse League. So it's our club playing against all of the best teams in the state. It's a humbling experience, but we're building a program, which is how I met our guest tonight. I'm coaching the 10U division, my son's team. And we're playing this team called the Ninjas, and they're pretty good. I think the final score was like 25-13. I was just glad we played in 13, right? But it's a lot of fun. Very well coached team, a lot of class, and I look over and I see their coach, and he's this very large, very athletic looking person, and I'm thinking to myself, that dude must be a Division I player somewhere, or, you know, plays pro somewhere, whatever.
I thought you were going to say, oh, that guy reminds me of Steve.
Oh, yeah. Actually, he reminds me of me. No, I'm only kidding. So I look over, and then my friend Alan Almonte, as it turns out, we're mutual friends, community guy here. He's like, hey, dude, you know that's Duncan Clancy? I'm like, from the launch? He's like, yeah, you had like a big straw hat on, Duncan. I'm going to introduce you in a minute, but I didn't see your face. But I'm like, holy crap, our local team. So we got talking, and I said, you know, we have mutual friends, the McGill brothers, that come and do the pro camp, and Duncan's going to join us for the pro camp this year. So we're very excited to have a guy from our local team. So, Duncan, without further ado, welcome to the program. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Welcome.
So you're originally Florida boy. I'm trying to get my chronology right here. I'm sorry. You're originally a Jersey guy.
Originally Long Island.
Long Island. So, okay. Long Island.
I hear the Long Island.
Right. Well, I always joke. I was in Long Island for 11 years, then Jersey until I was 20. I got out pretty much unscathed. You know, I could have come out with a pretty British accent, and I made it through without, you know, a few coffees and chocolates here and there. But
I bet if we put a six pack in you, you'd be all over the place.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong. You know, it's in my blood. But yeah, I do consider myself a Florida guy now. I've been down here for going on 8 years now. Hard to believe, but this is my home, and these are where my roots are at this point.
I feel, brother. I've been here since 2004, much later in the game than you. But I the only bad dreams that I have is I got to move back to Jersey. And I wake up, I'm like, oh, it's just a dream. It's all good. I love Florida so much. So you were an attackman for – so you played for the legendary Lawrenceville Prep program. I know they're not having their best days right now, but that was always a battle back when Steve and I played. In fact, they beat us by 2 goals, and that actually put us in the top 20, I remember, just running with Lawrenceville. So you played for Elville as an attacker. You played for Rutgers University as an attacker. You led the team one season with assists, and that won you the Alfred Sasser Award, I guess, or the trophy. Your coach really appreciates assists more than goals, apparently. And you led the team in points.
Player.
Yeah, man. It's good stuff. And then later you finished at Jacksonville for your senior year because you had that eligibility over it because you were injured. So tell us about your college career, man. Let's take us through it.
Yeah, so I always joke with people, you know, to start, I have two teams that I can always root for as an alumni of Rutgers and Jacksonville. So whatever team's doing better, you know, recently it's been Rutgers. I can always kind of cherry pick, whatever team's doing better. Say I'm an alumni of that school. So the quick rundown is I had 4 years at Rutgers. I was in Jersey at the time in high school, as you mentioned, at Lawrenceville. Was recruited locally by Rutgers, which, you know, I kind of pushed off to the side, and then later in the recruiting process went up there and was blown away by the guys on the team and really the atmosphere there. I really, you know, didn't expect to like it, and I ended up loving it. So, you know, that's the way so many things have gone, for me. And I think, you know, I'm not unique in that regard, but, had great 4 years at Rutgers. And then unfortunately my senior year at Rutgers had tore a muscle off of my hip, which was painful, second game of the year. And it knocked me out for the whole season. So I had a medical red shirt from that senior year, which I, you know, weighed my options at the end of my 4 years at Rutgers and said, let's get a different experience for my final year, you know, kind of playing with house money, so to speak, and came down to Jacksonville. So I kind of compare and contrast the two. Rutgers was a huge school where I wouldn't see, somebody. I'd see him once and then never see him again. And then Jacksonville was, you know, a place where you're going into class and there's, you know, nine other kids in the class. So it was, two different experiences.
That's good for the girls when I've partied in Rutgers a few times and I've had some good times there. That's a fun school. So
the grease trucks are the best bulk and diet on the planet right there. You know, you slap on French fries, mozzarella sticks onto a cheesesteak. Whatever else can fit under there. Some of those creations are just mind-boggling.
I used to get the fat cat with cheese. I think it's exactly what you just described, the fat cat with cheese. Awesome. Then you ended up getting signed with the launch. Where you transitioned to MIDI. Can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. It's actually a pretty interesting story, or kind of funny from my regard. I came in as an attackman, was drafted as an attackman. The coach at the time, Stan Ross, said basically, look, at the end of tryouts, you're going to make this team, but it's going to be as an offensive MIDI, which, you know, kind of caught me by surprise. But, you know, looking back, we had Kieran McArdle at attack, came in. We had Casey Powell. We had Lyle Thompson and Miles Thompson in the midst. So,
top five players of all time.
Yeah, you could make up a more logjam list of an attackman. So me being the sensible person I was, I said, absolutely, you know, throw me at MIDI. You know, I saw that. But, it ended up being great. It kind of fit my style as more of an athlete in this league, dodging downhill and then kind of letting those really, you know, truly legendary and skilled guys kind of bury the rock at the end and handle the finesse part of it. So the transition worked well, and it was kind of a natural transition for me, thankful.
Nice. That's great. You know, there's, I think you just said there, a lot of, like, the athleticism needed to not just play midfield, you know, but to transition from playing one position your whole life career and going into another one on the spot and performing at the level that you were says a lot about you, you know, as a person and as someone who's flexible and has the ability to create an opportunity. So that's great.
Yeah, that's one thing I J.J. Watt had talked about a few years ago, and say what you want about the guy, but, you know, I really agree with his offseason philosophy of kind of create the strongest organism that you can and then kind of let the coaches mold and shape that. And for me, as I progressed in my lacrosse career, that became my athleticism, and that's really what I attacked, where I felt like that gave me kind of that edge over everybody else. So that's where I wanted to, you know, have that strength surplus and be powerful. And, lacrosse, you know, I look more like a football player than a lacrosse player, and a large part of that is a byproduct of the way I train. But, you know, that's for a reason, and I've seen sort of the payoff because of that.
And Duncan, I mean, you know that I'm a performance coach and trainer, celebrity trainer, and performance training has been, you know, a lot of the conversation here at certain points. Tell us a little bit about what you do in the off season. How do you train? What's the progression look like?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, just getting going. I you know, will be weightlifting 3 or 4 days a week, and then I'm out on the field 4 to 5 days a week, you know, doing my own thing on the field in terms of training. Really, the main difference, I would say, kind of moving backwards here, was this offseason I attacked my endurance a little bit more running-wise. So I dropped a few pounds, got a little bit leaner, but felt like that kind of upped my endurance.
What did you do to do that? How did you drop those pounds?
So it was actually totally unrelated to diet. It was all training and really a greater emphasis on more frequent sessions with short burst intervals, stuff that, you know, I really, one of my goals this offseason was to become a better defenseman, you know, a defensive middie. And naturally that, you know, requires you to be a really, what I would call, malleable athlete. You need to be powerful, but you also need to be fast. You have to kind of adjust to what the competition's throwing at you. And so that, you know, a lot of backpedal and stuff, side shuffle, you know, footwork type stuff, because I felt like I had the power developed already, but it was about, you know, taking that horsepower and being able to apply it to the
ground. Change direction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Awesome. What does your nutrition look like?
So nutrition, I realized early in college when I really started to attack weightlifting how imperative nutrition was. And that's one of the things I always say I did right starting off. I eat very healthy, but I eat extremely high calories. So I'll eat, you know, 3 to 4 big meals a day, plus a snack as needed. But I would say each of those meals averages close to 1,800 calories. I'll do stir fries, you know, in the morning, you know, I'll have 9 eggs, spinach, you know, cooked in grass-fed butter, topped with, you know, 4 tablespoons of olive oil, you know, with 3 to 4 cooked cups of rice. You know, I get the big salad bowls from the Publix and you know, fill them up to the brim. And for me, that's kind of been a sustainable way for me to eat enough and eat healthy so that I'm not going out to Chick-fil-A and crushing, you know, 7 sandwiches at one time.
Awesome.
Which I do allow myself to do once a week in the mornings, which kind of keeps my
sanity. I like that. You got to have – I have a blog post that's done really well, cheat day or cheat meal, and it's really all dependent upon what, you know, is best for you and what your needs are. But that's really great that you have that cheat day in there, and I love the process there. And I think the big takeaway for the listeners here is that it's planned out. There's no, you know, like, what am I going to do today? Like, I'm sure you're very regimented about it and systematic, and you're doing it daily and consistently. Is that right?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a creature of habit for sure. And I always say to kids, you know, nutrition wise, training wise, that's benefited me greatly. Where you kind of look, Steve, where you're familiar, where you look at kind of a macro view, call it 3 months, and you sort of plan out your training, you plan out your nutrition, say, this is what I want to accomplish lacrosse wise. And then you get that plan in place and then you attack it. And that way it sort of takes the thinking out of it. And I always say you want an athlete with kind of just enough meathead in him, where you can turn off the thinking part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you want that aggressiveness. And I don't think you can get that if you're constantly evaluating what you're doing instead of just putting your head down and working and believing in your plan.
Love it.
Nice. Yeah.
So I loved all the kids to pay attention to this, because I think versatility in an athlete is huge. Getting pigeonholed at any age, right? It's just, it doesn't make sense. And granted, we all have our strengths, right, as athletes. And, you know, I remember Marcus Holman. We had Marcus Holman on the show. And Marcus actually started as an attackman in Long Island. And then at NC State, he started as a middie. And remember, he's like, I think that might have been my first All-American, because he had 3 total All-Americans. You know, he's a pretty good player. And then actually in MLL, I guess he goes back and forth. They'll move him up to that midi slot to dodge from the top and dump, and then they'll bring him down low to finish. So, you know, being versatile is huge. I look at my own son. He wanted, past tense, to be a midi because daddy was a midi. And, you know, he can't run that well, but he can post up and, you know, against the Ninjas, he probably had 5 or 6 of those goals against, you know, of those 13 down on the high post, just, you know, catch and rip. That's what he does. And thankfully he's accepted that, you know, and you know, for a 9 year old to accept that is pretty neat. So I'd like the kids to take that lesson from Mr. Duncan Clancy here that, you know what, and I love that you're working on your defense because most attackers suck at defense. Right? So can you take us through how do you prepare yourself for defense when you didn't do it all your life?
So
at the professional level, no less.
Yeah. It's kind of a long kind of answer. I would say a long journey. You know, what I would say before I kind of go off on a tangent, the thing that has helped me most has been cone drills. And just like what I was saying to Steve, you know, just developing that quickness and that power, that speed and that balance and coordination within a 10 to 15 yard area. Because that's really what lacrosse is. That's the, you know, the demands imposed on you as a defenseman. So, you know, you could say I get in great shape and, you know, I'm ready for defense if I run, you know, 3 miles or whatever. But that's not what you're going to be doing in a game. So what I tried to do is I looked at what, you know, short stick D middies were doing in a game. What were they would have to sprint up to their defenseman, you know, absorb, drop step, run with them, reattack. You know, there was that component of kind of staying over your hips with your upper body, but also obviously having that balance and agility with your lower body. So I found that, you know, cone drills with my stick in my hand coupled, you know, ending with a ground ball into a shot really kind of kept me engaged enough where it wasn't, you know, mindless running. It was still enough where it felt like I was working on my lacrosse game, but, you know, I was becoming a better overall athlete in doing so. And I think that was my biggest return on investment, speaking defensively.
And were you playing with a long stick or practicing with a long stick or?
No, you know, I'll never really have a pole in my hand. So it was all short stick stuff. And one of my philosophies actually is really, especially with the young guys, is to emphasize what I call basketball defense. Put the stick down and play defense with your hands and your feet. And I do it with my high school guys a lot. And, you know, it just reaffirms that it's all about body positioning more
awesome.
So than.
Than it is about the stick. That's cool. I like that. That's a really nice caveat there.
Yeah, yep. I have my little knuckleheads play defense with pool noodles, right? So they can't.
Nice. There you go.
They can't slide the stick. I didn't come up with that. Justin Moe from U.S. Lacrosse. He's a sure. South Florida guy.
Yeah, I know Justin.
You know Justin.
Yep.
Yeah, great. When I was getting my U.S. Lacrosse certification, he's like, dude, use pool noodles. I'm like, that's brilliant. Love it. So you're going to be at the upcoming Pro Camp. Let's talk about that for a moment. A lot of our listeners are local. We had, I think, what, 60, over 60 in our last one, Steve?
Yeah, somewhere around there, like 60 boys and about 15 girls, 20 girls.
Actually, it was like 25 girls.
Yeah, 25 girls.
Don't worry, you're not going to be coaching the girls, Duncan. We have a
coach plenty of the girls already.
they're fun. They're competitive. When we play our games, they get out there.
Girls, I love coaching girls lacrosse. I have my own company down here where I train kids privately, and I shockingly enough to me, picked up a lot of girls lacrosse players over the last few years. So I've had to kind of learn the game and the nuances, but really the fundamentals between men's and women's lacrosse are very similar. And I was actually just commenting to a girl I was training this morning that I'm going to bring a girl stick to one of my practices soon for a few of my guys that like to keep their stick down by their waist. Give them the girl stick and see how it goes with that for a few reps. So
nice.
A lot of what the girls do, you know, can reinforce, you know, the guys' mechanics. But the girls are also more coachable in general. The girls in general, just their demeanor, they're more receptive to coaching, I've found.
They're like, they have an attention span. They actually have an attention span. Yeah, I have a 7-year-old daughter that, you know, I'm kind of forced to coach girls lacrosse now too, but that's very, very rudimentary, you know, at that level. So far, Duncan, we've had, you know, obviously the McGill brothers started this for us, so they're just a mainstay. So two long pulls. We've had Marcus Holman, the attackman. We've had Kyle Hartzell, the great Kyle Hartzell, who does play some long stick middie, but a lot of close D. You're our first midfielder, so we're extremely excited, and there's already a buzz about, you know, a midi coming in, so I'm really excited. So question is, are you going to come for the 2 days? Are you going to be here the whole 4 days? What's your plan?
I'm at least there for two. I'm still waiting to figure out my schedule. I'm sponsored by Powell Lacrosse, and I'm sort of waiting to figure out my camp schedule with them. They run a bunch of camps throughout the country and actually a lot of really cool destination type places, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, you know, Bozeman, Montana, you know, some cool places that I'm looking forward to being able to get out there, you know, using lacrosse as kind of a vehicle to explore the world.
Anywhere out here in California?
I don't think they have any in Cali. I think they've got some in Oregon, a few in Washington State, one down in Arizona, but I don't think California at all.
Well, if and when you do make it out here, you must let me know.
Absolutely, of course.
Southern Cal, yeah.
Of course.
Well, we will all be united for, you know, for the four, well, at least the 2 days. The good thing is the first 2 days, it's July 16th through the 19th, so my birthday is on the 17th. It always coincides with my birthday.
It always is.
Always does. And it's usually a pretty epic time. So I don't know if you ever
what he remembers.
Yeah.
What he remembers.
I'm usually the one
keeping it together so that the next day at the camp things are organized and I'm like getting things and like people are like, "Where's Roger?" I'm like, "I don't know, don't ask."
He's running on fumes. Yeah, he's running on
Well, see, these kids get me for free, right? So I actually, on purpose, I don't coach at all. I just, you know, making sure there's water, snacks, you know, everything the kids need. But I'm leaving it to you guys. Steve's doing the strength and agility and the footwork portion. You guys are doing your thing on the professional level. Coach Lindsay does on the girls' side. But, you know, we do a lot of, like, co-ed stuff, like ultimate handball and things like that. Because it's not just lacrosse for four straight hours, you know.
Can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that gets old.
And we'd love some, you know, some new drills and or game stuff that you might have up your sleeve. So that'd be great if you could bring that.
Of course. We'll cook something up.
Cool.
Let's switch gears quickly to the launch this year. So, Alan, our mutual friend, has your opening day is Brevard Lacrosse Alliance night. So our 10 news are going to play in your stadium before the game, right before. And then I believe our 12Us are going to play a scrimmage during halftime. So our whole club's coming down. So who are you playing opening day?
Oh, gosh, you're going to put me on the spot. I don't even know. I know it's April 28th. I know our first week one's at we're in Atlanta. I'm not sure who we open up against that second week. I do know it's April 28th, but I haven't even gotten that far ahead yet. It's day-to-day with me.
You're a busy dude. I understand. I'm actually going to Google it right now as we're speaking. Steve, you got any follow-up on that?
No.
All right.
to be honest, no.
Trying to buy some time here, Steve. Thanks, man.
Sorry, buddy. I to be honest, I mean, I didn't have any questions.
Let's see. Here. I'm at the launch website. Let's see.
We've got a lot of new faces, but a lot of the same kind of pillars, so to speak. So, you know, I think – what you can expect is we can, you know, hit the early season, hit the ground running rather than last year where it was a little bit more of a trial and error period,
right?
Rotating rosters and things like that. So it should be a good product right off the bat.
All right. I do have a question. I just thought of something. Now that you're ready, Roger, you're going to have to wait. Is there any talk about having another expansion team in Los Angeles or out here in Southern Cal?
We had one.
It was the LA Riptide we had for many years.
The San Francisco Dragons. And, you know, those teams are held, you know, with the highest regard by some of the guys that used to play for them. They just, you know, say they did it right. And the guys felt the love, you know, from the organization. I think there's a market there in California. I'm sure people are looking. I'm sure the league's looking. I don't know of anything tangible yet. I would be shocked if they weren't sniffing a few of the markets out there. You know, I think the question is, especially with the San Diego, you know, indoor team, you know, it just reaffirms there's, you know, that commitment level to lacrosse. There's enough of a general population out in California now, a lacrosse population to make it work.
The game that I went to, the Maryland-North Carolina game, Maryland wins 11-7. The stadium was packed. It was sold out. 13,000 people.
Gotta love that.
Same. So.
Yeah. Same. It was awesome. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So I did get the information. Thanks for buying me time there, Steve and Duncan. You're playing the Chesapeake Bayhawks. So that should be a lot of fun. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll all be down there. Steve, any chance you could fly out for that? It's awesome. We stay at the Marriott there, and that's where all the players stay, too. So some of them will have to visit us after the game. It's really cool. You know what I love about the pro lacrosse players, you guys are so available to the fans, you know, it's so cool. You're out there signing autographs, you know, just chatting with the parents, you know, back at the hotel. And, it's almost like a minor league baseball kind of atmosphere. Right.
Right.
Is that by design there?
Yeah, it is. And I always say, you know, really for the MLL to get going, it's grassroots, grassroots, grassroots. It's getting your face out in front of the kids and being that representation within that community and developing those relationships. You know, that's what it is. And, you know, I think all the guys in the league understand the value in that. A lot of these guys grew up going to MLL games, myself included, back at the New Jersey Pride games. Back, you know, at Rutgers back in the day. And that's what kids remember. That's what makes the MLL kind of a unique experience, is that availability to the pro guys. And all these guys are, you're right, they're great guys. They're great athletes, great lacrosse players. But, you know, they're you know, good guys you all want to go, you know, have a beer with. They're stand-up guys. And you kind of – that trickles down to the kids and the interaction with the fans, I think. Very approachable.
Mm-hmm. No, it absolutely does. And that it applies to even, like, you know, living legends like Casey Powell. You know, he's just out there joking around, giving the kids noogies and stuff. It's just – it's absolutely remarkable. So much fun. So we're looking forward to having you up here, and we'll see you before the camp. Well, not Steve, but my whole family will be down there, and I'm sure Alan will be down there. Pretty much our whole club are really excited about it. Steve, any parting questions here for Duncan?
No questions, just comments, and just an acknowledgement for your career and your focus to get to where you're at and your ability to maintain your optimal level of health and performance during this, because I know it takes a lot of commitment and a lot of sacrifice and discipline, and I appreciate you very much, and I'm looking forward to meeting you this summer and coaching with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It means a lot. Yeah, I've always taken pride in, you know, making sure I don't have gaps in my training, and, you know, that's kind of been a passion of mine. It sounds like much like yourself, Steve. So you know, as you can see, progress is addicting. So I hear you loud and clear.
Awesome.
Well, excellent. Hey, fantastic interview. So much fun. Thank you for coming on the program, Duncan, taking a moment of your busy schedule to speak to two local podcasters in the Space Coast.
I appreciate you guys having me on, and seriously, I can't wait. You know, I love summer and can't wait to get up there, and, you know, I'm as busy as ever over the summer, but, you know, I've had great experiences in the short time that I've seen your crew from up there. So look forward to seeing you guys in a week or so.
Well, we'll get you on. You will want to come back. Holman wants to come back constantly, but he's coaching over at Utah now, so he's got a crazy schedule, but I felt like I was like in college again.
It's a nice little vacation as well.
Yeah. Good time.
We make it fun. We balance it out really nicely. And we look forward to having you back on the podcast after the season or sometime during the year, maybe the beginning of next year, and kind of continuing this greatness here. So you have a good night.
Sounds great, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Duncan Clancy, everybody. Steve, as always a pleasure, buddy. Take care now.
Lacks on.